I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Clap, 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 clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast, hosted by Elliot Sherparks and Jack Fritz.
I don't want to do it because I'm still not.
Where are you going with this?
I'm still not fully believing, but is it time to owe Kelly Oubre an apology?
Dude, I kid you not. I was just about to say, yesterday I was driving in my car thinking about how, like, I laughed tears, but we sat on this pod and laughed about Kelly Oubre and you called him a losing player. So I actually think you would be the one that owes him the apology more than I do. I kind of just rode along with your take. You were the one driving the Oubre as a losing player. But, dude, he's been awesome recently. Going into the playoffs, I think the best way – James Jackson is saying we both owe him an apology. I don't owe him an apology. Jack owes him an apology. I've been team Oubre throughout this whole season. There were definitely moments on the pod where I ripped into him. But I think he's also kind of always been the same player. I think, you know, he's making big shots. He takes big shots. I think he still has an element to him of, I have no idea what he's going to do in a clutch moment, which is worrisome. But he is the fourth best player on this team right now.
Who's third? Oh, Lowry?
I still think Lowry is the third best player. But you could talk me into it.
Twist your arm into saying it's Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, you could twist my arm into it. But I do think it's Lowry and then Oubre. But in a clutch moment, you know, I trust Oubre way more than I did a month ago.
Well, what I like about him is that he seems like, at least, like, he'll be very aggressive. Like, it seems like that aggressiveness that we saw early in the season, like, it's not even the shooting. I guess I had this perception that he's more like a jump shooter kind of guy, but coming here. And right. In the beginning of the season, like, he was doing a bunch of different things. Like, he's attacking the rim. And
dude,
I think what's happened.
Good. Like, he's good.
In the last, like, 10 games, he's gotten back to attacking the rim. He's had, like, Kelly Oubre's had, like, a weird amount of blocks, you know?
He really has, yeah.
Like, he had 3 blocks last night. Yeah. I mean, rim protector, small ball five, Kelly Oubre. He's been on 5 teams in 8 seasons. He's on a minimum contract. Like, that should not be a player that is a winning basketball player, because the league, quote unquote, shows you who he is or whatever. But like, he might be back to early season Kelly Oubre, and like, he's probably the third best player on the team. Like, I think Lowry, just from the standpoint
of best player on the team, yeah,
third best player on the team.
Oh, third best. Okay, I was gonna say, yeah. That's a. I know you're down on Maxey, but that would be a hell of a take.
Third best player on the team.
Third best player. Okay.
And it's like, Lowry is a smart basketball player, but like, he's also giving you, what, like, a max 8 points a night?
Dude, if you could put Lowry's brain inside of Kelly Oubre, top 5 player in the league.
Yeah.
If you're building the ultimate NBA player, it would be Kelly Oubre's face, Kyle Lowry's brain, and then probably Oubre's body.
Right. Yeah. But no, I think he's been good. And it might be we're approaching apology time. What did you think? D'Anthony Melton coming back last night. I almost forgot about him. I really did. But credit to him for battling on back.
So shout out to Kate Scott and Ala. They do a great job. I love listening to them. But the nickname D-Melt that she said when he made his first three, Not the biggest fan of that nickname. I would stay away from that nickname. It was good to see him back. I going into this season, I'm still too scarred from him missing all those threes in game six, where I don't have confidence in him making a big shot. He is a good shooter, and during the regular season, maybe in the playoffs, I don't know if I really want to see him on the court. He's missed it. I mean, basically, I think he's played, what, five games since January. He missed a ton of time, tried to come back, had to miss a ton of time again. It was good to see him out there. I think that in a playoff game where there's foul trouble or it's a unique situation, he's a good guy to have on the bench. But they've been playing, you know, well without him, and he's been rusty. So, yeah, I think, like, for him personally, it's good to see him back on the court. But I don't think I want him. I certainly don't want him starting. And right now, he's probably not in my seven-man rotation or eight-man rotation.
But at the same time, I know you're not big into – you're not a defensive guy.
I'm not.
Like, who are the good defensive players in this team as we get into maybe a series against – I mean, even Cleveland, right? I mean, who's guarding Mitchell and Garland? I think Maxey obviously will. Lowry's a pretty good defender. Toby might be too big for those. Like, Toby and Batum, like, I guess best wing defenders.
Right.
Like, Buddy Hield can't guard you. I just think that, like, when it gets, like, even, like, the Celtics series, you might need Melton. I mean, like
yeah, but again, the Melton versus the Celtics, again, still scarred from last year.
So, I wouldn't start
right.
him.
I mean, it's a fair point.
I wouldn't start him. I think if I'm heading into the playoffs, I want my starters to be Maxey, Lowry, Toby. I don't want him to be the starter.
He's going to start.
Toby, Batum, and Embiid. Like, I want those five. And I think you could, depending on how game flow is going, maybe you can change that up in the last 4 minutes of the game. But, I mean, a bench of Paul Reed.
Nice.
Paul Reed, Melton, Hield, and
Have you changed your mind on Paul Reed?
Oh, I will never change my mind. Yeah,
still blaming Spike.
It's still all. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess he's played. He's better. Fine. He's mostly fine. Yeah. So, like, it's kind of, it's not. I don't think I feel as good about the bench as I did early in the season. But at least with Melton coming back, Melton, Oubre. I mean, Melton, Oubre. Yeah. Like, there's some pieces to the bench to where if they get this thing right, I mean, there's a path.
Well, so I think it's the best bench they've had during this postseason run, for sure. Let me ask you this question. Do you have more confidence in the duo of Embiid and Maxey going into the postseason than you have any other duo in Embiid's time here? Embiid and Ben, Embiid and Jimmy, you know, obviously Ben was a big part of that team too, and then Embiid and Harden.
So I think the thing that we've done with that Jimmy Butler team is we just completely overrated how
we've romanticized about them.
And it's strictly because what they've done elsewhere. I mean, what Jimmy Butler's done with Miami is, like, you know, it's not fair to what actually that team was like.
He wasn't playoff Jimmy here. Yeah.
Like, Redick was on that team. I just don't think people believe, like, what a missed opportunity. That's why, like, even the Kawhi shot, people try to put into a class of, like, heartbreakers. And I never really felt that it was, like, a heartbreaker in that way.
I disagree with you on that one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not on the Pantheon.
I mean, dude, I still remember being in my house, like, hearing the ball bounce on the rim and just, like, sitting in silence for, you know, 30 seconds after. Like, that was a pretty bad one.
Yeah. So I feel confident. I probably don't feel as confident as I did when their path was the Wizards and Hawks.
I know. That was really the year they fumbled the bag.
So I probably don't feel as confident as that year. But, yeah, I'm definitely better than the last couple of years. Like, I never really believed in Harden. I don't really care that he had the two game. I know, famously, yes, you did.
Yeah, I did.
So I definitely have more confidence in this. It also has a renewed sense of, like, it's almost a reset button on what they could be, because I want to see what Maxey can do in the postseason. And I haven't really seen that as a second best player. Now, Could he not do it? Could he not look like he's ready for it? 100%. But I feel a renewed sense of intrigue, I guess, rather than, they're going to blow it. Like, I'm not there.
I think this is the most confidence I've had, because while I believed in Harden,
well, that's an issue. This team is screwed, man.
Yeah, this team is exactly. But and they're just not the playoff baggage with Maxey that there was with Harden. Now, I think we, the same way that we overrate what Jimmy was, I think we underrate what Harden was last year. He did win them two games in that series. So, you know, does Maxey have it in him to do that? I think recently he's shown more of an ability to do it, but we'll see if he actually can. But in terms of just like a freshness and also the way Embiid is playing, plus with how Maxey's playing, I do think this is the most confidence I've had in a duo heading into the postseason. They have, so with Harden, what I liked was he was like a scorer, you know, obviously facilitator, but at the same time, he's someone that could put the team on his back. Maxey's shown the ability to do that. And this is now the best version of Embiid that they've had going into the postseason. I mean, the last time he went in this healthy in the postseason, granted, they did get swept by the Celtics in the first round, but he was outstanding in that series. He averaged, I think, over 30 points. He was really the only good player they had. So I do think we could be gearing up for an all-time Embiid run. We'll see how far that ends up going. But I think in terms of a running mate, this is the best one he's had, because Harden was older. He had the playoff baggage. Harden disappeared. Obviously, you know, there would be games where he had like 12 points. I feel like his disappearing impacted the team more negative than Maxey disappearing does. They need Maxey, but when Maxey disappears, I think you see like the team can still function. When Harden would disappear, the entire thing kind of fell apart because he had the ball so much.
But at the same time, I think people are also looking for Harden to disappear.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're doing that with Maxey.
People are almost waiting with their pitchforks of like, oh, there he goes.
When he's, you say people, you mean everybody at the station besides me. Yeah.
Well, yeah, a lot of loser vibes with James Harden. Yeah. Listen, Ike is very anti.
Yeah, that's true. Ike is anti Harden. You're right. He tried to buy himself in, but when they got out, he was right back to it.
Yeah. He never really bought an Harden thing, but yeah, I don't think people have their pitchforks out for Maxey yet, and I'll be curious if they do come up small this postseason, if they're real big, because I think he's still in that honeymoon phase.
I agree. He's above criticism.